Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. We thank you all for tuning in to the Angels on Deck show on tonight live in Novi, Michigan. You are listening to Taking It Back by Storm. And we thank God with Dr. Rodeberg. We thank the Lord for his many blessings. We want to give a shout out to all of you that are listening in live from all around the world, in Africa, in America, in Italy, the UK, Trinidad, wherever you may be at tonight. We want to say God bless you. We're going to take you into the sanctuary where you're going to hear gospel recording artist Brent Taylor worship in live music. And tonight's speaker will be our brother, Dr. Marcus Seabrook. So we're going to take you on in, and we pray that you will be blessed by the Lord's word.
We have a very special opening. We ready? Okay. All right. Right quick, I just need to say hi to some people. All right. Y'all hearing us and you tuning in, is for those who want to see the broadcast, please go to www.blaineirving.com. You can see it on the live stream. We are about to start our segment of the concert. But, you know, as usual, we have to give a personal shout-out. Science, I'm telling the nations that's watching us right now. So we do know Ghana, we know Nigeria.
Kenya.
We know Kenya.
Uganda.
Zambia.
Zimbabwe.
Australia.
Italy.
UK.
Brazil.
Mexico.
Trinidad.
Tobago.
Barbados.
China, we know Japan is on. We thank God for Kuwait, Israel, India. We just thank God for all of you that are tuning in around the world. For those who don't know, there's about 20,000 people on our live talk. So we praise God for the people around the country to partake in what we, this is not a conference, this is a worship experience. So we thank you all for tuning in to our worship experience. We want to bring quality worship to all of you. You all know I love you. We've been on the air with Tanya Angels of Melodies Johnson for many, many years. So you'll see Doctor on the website, hallelujah. But I'm still known as Prophetess to all of my friends out there. I love you so very much. Thank you for tuning in. Don't forget your prayer request, your prayer request. Please go on www.thekingofkings.com, www.fit4kingsofkings.com. We want to hear from you. Go to Blaine's contact page. We want prayer requests because I really believe, as the man of God, Brent Taylor, goes forth, you're going to receive that healing. You're going to receive that deliverance. We want you. We thank you for the response. I want to thank everybody who tuned in and actually blew up the information as far as Friday. We were packed on Blog Talk Friday. We were packed on Blog Talk also this afternoon. And the reason I'm taking our time to show you how much I appreciate you, because many of you, it's 3 o'clock in the morning, it's 6 o'clock. Some of you have said, we don't care what time it is that you're doing this, we want to be a part. And we did this live streaming for all of our friends in different countries that couldn't be here today. So we want you to join in the experience. We're going to be dancing. We're going to be praising him. This is not a formal thing. You know, if you feel the layout, we're going to lay out with you. Praise you, Jesus. So we made this possible because I genuinely love you, and not only me, Brent loves you. Marcus, we're doing this because we care about you. We know how important it is for you to have the worship experience so that you can draw closer to God. We're drawing nigh to him. He's going to draw nigh to us. Amen. Praise you, Jesus. So again, your prayer request, please, even go to Tanya's page. We want to pray for you. And Brent, as he's led prophetically, he will stop. We're going to pray for you. We're going to talk to you. We're going to minister to you tonight, as well as those that are with us, our family and friends is with us. This is a night of healing. You know, the whole theme of this is entering into the glory. Praise you, Jesus. It's entering into the glory, and this is your night. We didn't say one night. When God asked me to speak on his behalf concerning this with the flyers, he didn't say one night, because you can have every night with the King. Isn't that beautiful? You can spend as much night as you want with the dream. You don't get tired. Oh, You don't get headaches, prejudice. And you can have experience with the king, like, man, the king, praise God. Y'all know I'm funny. I just praise you. So we thank you for all those nights. But this is a special night because this is a night set apart for his youth. These men of God have set themselves apart for the master's youth. And I want you to know this is your night with him. So reach out because he's going to come into these airways. There's going to be a tangible manifestation like you've never experienced. So get ready. You know, let us know about the healings you're going to experience. Let us know about the deliverance you're going to experience. We have had the response from the Facebook page letting us know what you experience as our other ministers have went forth. But I'm telling you, I'm not speaking to hype anything up. I really want you to raise your expectations. And even if you haven't, by the time this is over with, you're going to see God in a way you've never seen him before. You're going to experience him in a way you have never experienced him before. I can say that because, again, we were at Cobalt Hall, and I've been telling people to stay, but I'm telling it again because we have new people. And when we were there, it was temporary. You know, it's about a few minutes. And I was wondering, like, you know, why am I here? And I have witnesses. This man, a guy got up, and we all was like, what in the world? What is that? They were all goosebumps. I got goosebumps. I was like, okay, watch this and fire, and I know he can sing. But it wasn't just sing. It was like the heavens opened up, and it was like the glory of God just entered the room. He doesn't really need an introduction, but I need you to call somebody, text somebody, Facebook somebody, because you don't want to miss this. Now, mind you, we do have this permission, so it's going to be on YouTube, podcast. Brain has been so kind to put it on iTunes, so you'll be able to play this in the car, and you can expect something's going to happen, because I feel an answer to fire God out over me, because he's been in here rehearsing, and him and these wonderful young men, you just, hey, mama, get a hand. You did a good job. These wonderful young men, I'm telling you, I can hardly stand it. And the air is on blast up in here. But there's a fire of God waiting for you to experience. So without further ado, I'm just going to bring Jill up. And after Jill is our sweet Sarah, she's going to start praying for you now. Hallelujah. We're going to pray now. Great.
So how many expecting God? Hallelujah. Expecting from God tonight? How many hungry people out here for Jesus? How many thirsty people? How many desperate for God? Are you going to press in with all your mind, with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your soul? And for those in the back, why don't you come up a little closer so we can be a little closer together? We want to see you dancing in the aisle, praising, shouting. Has God been good to you? Has he delivered you? Has he healed you? Has he continued to deliver you? He's showing up and showing up in your life. For the goodness of God and the mercy of God endures forever. How many want to see the glory of God and the glory cloud in this place? In the midst of God. Well, God is attracted to hunger. He's attracted to praise. He's attracted to you. And he wants you to press in. How many going to lift up holy hands and give him praise right now? How many going to thank him for all he said? I know that you're tired, but shake it off. Shake it off. He's been too good to you to be tired. He's been too good to you to stand still. So you're going to command your soul to bless the Lord. You're going to command your feet to dance with the Lord. You're going to command your hands to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. A commandment is to order your body to get up and do something because God has been too good to you. Because without the Lord, where would you have been? Hallelujah. Look what the Lord has done. Hallelujah. And what he's doing in your life. So I'm giving him praise because he's going to expect a blessing. God's going to heal in this place. He's going to turn things around. When you go home, it's going to be different than when you left. He's going to change your husband. Change your kids. You're going to send the glory in your house. You're going to send the glory in your finances. You're going to send the glory in you. Hallelujah. How many want to be saturated with the glory of God? I'm not leaving this place until I touch the hem of his garment. I'm not leaving this place until I see him face to face. I'm not wasting my time coming here just to see you. I want to see the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Are you with me? Are we going in deeper? How many going to go in deeper? How many go in the river and go under the river? No more treading water. I'm going in all the way. And I want to worship because he said he enthrones the praises of his people. He enthrones, he sits upon your praise. And I want the glory and the weight of Jesus because when he comes in, everything's going to flee. When the glory comes in, that devil's going to leave the atmosphere. The devil's going to leave the vicinity. It's going going to leave my children. It's going to leave my husband. It's going to leave my finances. You can't do this. It's the glory of the Lord that's going before us. It's a praise and battle. Are you going to dance like David danced? David was a worshiper. He was a warrior. He was a lover. And he just, all he did was worship. That was the key to his success, the glory of the Lord. How can those little stones defeat a giant? But it was the presence of God going before him. And how many want to increase the glory in your life through your praise? Because you need the glory of Judah to roar at the enemies. How many enemies you got? Well, God said they're going to be gone tonight if you worship him. Hallelujah. So I want to testify to God's great acts. God, Lord, how many love the word of God? How many said it's like fire shut up in my bones? When you behold the word, you're beholding the glory of Jesus. Hallelujah. You behold him. When you read the word, it's a mirror, it's a lamp, it's a seed, it's a fire. And the Lord is saying to testify to his great acts, I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day I will bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of thy might, of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. And they shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of thy glory of thy kingdom and talk of your power to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. The kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth through all generations. The Lord upholds all that fall and raises up all those that are bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon the Lord, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Due season. Thou openest thine hand and satisfies the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desires of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will be destroyed. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever, Lord. Thank you. Come on, Sarah. Thank you, Lord. We just praise you. Keep on praising him. Just lift him up. Worship him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, we thank you, God. We thank you, God. So let's just all lift up our hands and just praise him with all that you have. Give him your whole heart today. Today we're just going to tell him how much that we love him for what he's done for us, for what he's doing for us, and what he's going to do tonight. God, we thank you so much for your presence right now. We thank you, God, that you are about to do a great work in each and every one of our hearts, even over the people's hearts over online, over this world right now, all the people who are watching. God, we thank you so much that you made a way, for us to be here, that you provided everything that we need today, God. We thank you that up until today you covered us and you protected us. And so, God, I just lift up all these people right now. I just pray that we all get our hearts right before the Lord right now. And I just repent on each of our behalf, God, for any sin that may be in our lives. God, we give it to you, and we give you our hearts. We pray, God, that you purify our hearts, that you sanctify our hearts, that you show us what we need to get rid of, so that we can be used by you to go out into the world and proclaim your word and to be living testimony of what you're doing in our lives, God. We thank you for your power. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for what you are doing right now. God, you are such a good God. And I thank you right now for this generosity. That God, that you just poured a blessing over these people tonight. I pray, God, that you just begin to work in their hearts, that you open up their hearts, and that you bring them to a place of complete brokenness, a place where they just need you and only you. And God, I thank you for the plan of God that you're about to use. And God, I thank you that you have so much for these people, that the healings are about to pour out. God, we thank you so much for healing. Where you heal every hurt, you are out to die. You are Elohim. You are Jehovah Jireh. You are Jehovah Nissi. You wave that victory banner over us, O Lord, and we thank you for the victory today. We praise you, Lord. You are great. And we just come against every attack right now. We find every weapon of the enemy that may try to hinder us from
Thank you. God. Thank you. I'm Thank you. prayer this morning, for sitting in the place where I believe this is an honor for God, and I ask you, and I'm going to just getting one more prayer. I'm there to tell you. I need you. Let me out. I need you. I bless me now. I say, Lord, I praise you.
I'm going to Thank you.
You can see it around you, but you can't touch it. There's something that is blocking you from getting it. You think it's everybody else. But the Holy Spirit is working in you, not through you on somebody else all the time as ministers, as people. As the leaders, as women as well. And you can see what you want. But the glass spirit is in case your eyes won't let you get. You've allowed Satan to trip you up and trip you up and trip you up so much that it becomes habit. He's no longer tripping you up, you're tripping yourself. And he's going to give you your destiny. But sometimes we talk too much. So don't talk. So what I'm asking for is nobody talking. Because God can talk when you're talking over him, and it gets in this battle in our lives where we don't understand submission and we don't come into a place of submission, so we miss our blessing because we're too caught up in what we need to tell him. Be still and know that I'm God. Listen to your heartbeat. The Holy Spirit is about to shift your atmosphere. By listening, seek first. God, I pray for revelation in a moment right now. God, the busyness of our ministries has kept us so consumed with stuff and with people and ideas, we haven't been able to see what you're trying to give us. God, I see Bathsheba's in a moment where they've given their lives and us as men have given our lives to something else and we're pregnant with somebody else's promise. God, we're trying to hide it. And the David in our life is trying to make everything all right for us. But we know that we've done something wrong. We know that we've done something and we just want to get back to you. God, tonight is that night. We try to kill this idea and we try to kill that idea because it will put us in a position of being told. Being told on. Being exposed. But if you said, if you would just bring it to me, I'll make it okay. I'll make it all right. I know you've been hurt. I know you've been abused. I know you've been taken from your first love. I know you've been taken from your idea. I know you've been taken from whatever it is your promise was. I know you've been already in a moment. But your caring will change the world. Stop asking me for it. It's already in you. All you need is to be faithful to me. Be faithful to what I've given you. You're no longer Sarai. You've moved into the place of Sarah, where you're coming into the idea and the mentality that what God told the person who's above you will birth something in you that will change destiny forever. But God, when we repent from the things we did before, we get to be pregnant. We get to be pregnant within the promise, not within Ishmael. God, I pray that the Ishmael spirit be broken, that we stop giving our treasures to handmaidens. That we rely on your promise. Jesus, you're here. Holy Spirit, you're here. Father, we adore you. We lay our lives before you as a family. I have a question. How many people want God to do something in their lives? How many will are willing to do something if you don't get something back? How many are willing to love beyond what you know and what you see? Because thank you, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and I'm going to tell you another story, and I just want to talk to you from my heart. Even if we go in the fire and die, I'll still give you everything. Everybody's dying around me as they take me to the fire, but I will not bow to that. I will not bow to my attitude, my insensitivity, things that hurt me, things that are going on, money, time, space, whatever man's trying to get me, whatever girl's trying to get me, whatever thing's trying to come out of, whether it's smoking, whether it's ideas, I will not bow down to that moment because it's not worth worshiping that thing. Because even if I die, I'll be with you. And so many times we get caught up in the fire, in the process of what we're going to go through to be refined, that we don't realize he wants to make a spectacle of us so that the whole world will see him walking with us. And sometimes the hell that you're going through and the things that you're going through and the function that you're going through is just so God can let all those people who bowed and your head stick up in the crowd. That when you come out of your fire, they'll say, who is with you? We saw there was supposed to be three. But who is that other one that looked like God? It looked like the angel of the Lord. It looked like something was around you, and goodness and mercy shall follow. So sometimes we have to get to the place where we're willing to let things go, not based upon what I'm receiving, but based upon what I'm going to give in my moment, in my ministry. And it's not even my ministry, it's the Lord's ministry. So I've got nothing. We cover that ease, and we cover destruction, we cover everything that we've got, and we say, this is mine. And we wake up and die. And we go home and we leave it for somebody else. I seem like I'm harsh most of the time, and I'm not really harsh. I'm really just a baby inside, but I do know that the Lord is strengthening me to stand up when everybody else bows. When their voices whisper in your heart, when they tug on your emotions, and they say, you need to act this way, and be that. And we are so in a moment that we are trying to decide where to give our stuff, where to invest in, because you do need to invest in your ground. But you invest where the Lord tells you, and that's in him. We've been investing in so much other stuff. His will. I believe that the Lord will decide on your behalf to walk with you through your fire. Three boys didn't get upset and start cussing people out. Three boys didn't get upset and start throwing stuff. You're not sure they went to the fire willingly. They're like, oh, take me. I volunteer. 7 times hotter. I'm cool. And they're like, I got a badge and I get the free pass. $200 for collect and go. Let's go through Monopoly. I don't think that may be the case. They didn't even struggle through the moment. No, why did I be chosen to this? Why did I have ever been so in this position? But I'm just mentioning you, Jesus. Why wouldn't you just struggle through? I went into the middle of this thing. And he's saying, well, one more second. Let's do this again, and let's see if they're bad, because we're going to make it hotter. And if you get it hotter, why would I be here in my life? It's ironic to me that the men who were walking with him that didn't have Jesus died when they were going into the moment. We got to prepare it because we said we get tested in fire, and then we wonder why we complain about the fire. Then you have, like, DuPont fire clothes on. It's amazing to me sometimes where we can walk on it, and they just feel like it. But faith quenches every fiery dart, and faith comes in the moment where it doesn't say we don't feel it or don't see it coming at us, we don't see what's coming into us. But that it will quench every fiery dart. Yet it puts a standard, and even it doesn't say we can't see through that faith. There's a moment in this movie that says, I'm a 300 guy, so, that says, our arrows will blot out the sun. And he says, well, we'll fight in the shade. My spirit doesn't know the difference between light and dark just because there's light in me. So no matter what happens, you'll never blot out the sun in me. So I reflect the glory no matter what hits me, no matter what comes into me, no matter how it goes, no matter what's coming through you, no matter what you try to block out naturally, the shine in me will cause this to reflect in such a way that I will have my fight no matter what happens. So yes, it's hard. Yes, it's crazy. Yes, it doesn't make sense. And yes, I really have the best relationship. Yes, I really have that money. Yes, I really have this person, that person. So I don't really, and I'm not. Or somebody's going through this. Or somebody has that. Or somebody. And God's like, I'm not trying to get you to do everything else. I'm trying to make you stick out. Because when you stick out, I can get glory from you. I can receive glory from you. We don't want to wear the same clothes as somebody else, but we want to be blessed by some like somebody else. And I believe that the Lord is trying to do something in us and something in this moment. Well, worship is not about me playing or you singing or us singing as loud as we can. It is about the moment where the Lord begins to press into us, to speak into us. And we bow at the mention of his name. We begin to say, Lord, let me fall into you. And I'm so guilty of not doing that. And what that wanted me to really say, there's a story in 1 Kings. And this woman is like, we have one last take. And the man of God comes, which seems harsh, rude, and over arrogant. He says, I know you probably going to die and all that you said to me. I know what you're going through. And we think, oh, man, he should have her and gave her what's in his pocket because he's the man of God and he'll be blessed. And he's like, ah, give me yours. No pity party, no issue. No, and she was like, what? Say what? I'm going to double it. Don't you realize I'm a woman and I have a son? Why would I give it to this man? You're stronger than me. Why would I give it to you? Why would I do it? In my mind, this is what I would be thinking. What? What do you mean? And isn't that like God in us? God, I'm weak. I'm tired. I'm frustrated. I'm overwhelmed by things. I don't know. I just had this last thing, so I'm going to take it. I'm going to covet it. It's going to be mine. I'm going to hold on to it. It's going to be taken into my possession. And everything that I do is going to be about me savoring this last night before I get into this place, my emotions, what I need. I need, I need, I need, I need, I need. And I'm so guilty. But he's like, no. not that I don't get passion on you, but if you would give up what's in your hands, you would get more blessing. You would get more stuff. You would get more, and you don't understand if you would pour into the man of God that's functioning around you, that becomes your process of source. And so many of us are so hellbound in our mindset about not sowing because we need to keep us. Yet we throw out scriptures where we need to freely give and freely I receive, and we throw out pressed down, shaking together, running over, but all of it's a gift principle. And God is asking, whatever it is that's the last bit of everything, if you would just begin to give that out of who you are, if you would begin to let go of what it is that you're holding at home, you've got a little bit of oil, a little bit of meal, and God's got to send somebody into your life. Send somebody into your function to be where you are. Things like if you would just let go to the right person that you've seen ministry, that you've seen watch. If you would sell your resources into Christ or into God or into the man of God or who it is that you see fit, you would see God in your moment. It seems like you're going to die. But then you read scriptures like, I've not seen the righteous begging for bread. You forget in the temporary that the temporary doesn't mean the longevity of this thing, it just means today. So we're looking for men of blessings, which are not actually blessings, they're just meeting needs day by day by day by day by day by day. By day. And the Lord wants to bless you. Wants to pour into you. And in the second part of the story in 2 Kings, I mean 1 Kings 17, it says that when she gave, he said, you will never leave. You will never have to look for anything. It will be in the container. It will be in the source. It will be in what you're looking for, where it's coming out of, so that you will have constant, continuous replenishment of that thing that you've been looking for. The thing that you were going to die with last, if you would have kept it, you would have ate it and died, but if you gave it and give it back, I will pour into you day by day, moment by moment, section by section, intimacy by intimacy, love by love, healthy by healthy. But if you don't let go, you're going to die tomorrow, holding on to what you think is going to satisfy you for a moment. And the Lord loves you so much. He loves me so much. He so long like he loves me. But I just want you to understand my heart. Wherever you are in the world, and I don't know people's situation today, we got the ability to go and talk to a group of homeless people who are addicted to drugs, addicted to things. I don't know what people go through here. But I do know what you can go through with God. If you would give your last thing, if you would give your last moment to somebody or to what God asks you to give, or when somebody comes into your life, saying everybody, I believe that God will provide for you, provide for you, provide for your existence. It's not just come back in the healing line, but there's something at home that you've been trying to hold on to. There's something in your heart that you've been trying to desperately hold on to. And so if you would not give this away, I'll die. I won't even get to taste it last time, the last time for myself. But I believe the Lord is going to move on your behalf. Come on, come on. I'm going to tell you a spot, that's fine. I said this to say, I was sitting in a car and I'm like, I feel so arrogant saying this to you. And I was like, I feel like the Lord told you so into us coming in. And she's like, I don't have the money. I don't have the stuff. I don't have X, Y, Z. I have nothing left. I have to take care of this for my family in order to get into this moment. And candidly, Satan has hit us ridiculously hard, and we candidly have let him. But I want you, beyond that moment, what God has sown into recovery and sown into life, because we were supposed to come in and deliver something. And in the moment, what she was sewing into the life, and she said, I had this much money, and that's exactly how much money it was going to cost her to come. And she sewed. And I said, you need to call Rhoda. And you need to talk to her and say this, this, and this. But you need to sew this. And so I want you to just talk about what God's doing.
Okay. Well, ever since that understanding that I believed that, I thought about it, and I was like, okay, I'm going to give up my last cake. I'm going to give it all away. And I got it right in my heart, the amount. I said, that's it, I'm going to do it. And even before I actually took the finances and gave it away, things have been happening. Great things have been happening financially. I mean, Rhoda, she called me before I even got to call her and be like, I'm not going to be able to come. And I might, you know, I need help. She called me, she's like, you're coming. That's that. You're coming, and that's it. And so that gave me reason to rejoice because God showed up before I even had to say anything. He knows your heart. He knows what you need. He just wants to make sure that you're going to give everything and trust him. And then, on top of it, I was believing for more finances for something else, and he provided that. I got this text message in the morning from a woman from my church who was like, I woke up in the middle of the night last night, and I just felt this, it was impressed on me to help you with what you're believing for. And so don't worry about it. The finances are covered. You're safe for the course, for that. And I was like, oh, praise the Lord. And so he's just been showing up ever since I've decided to sow into us, into him who is going to be the head. And I trust that in every way. And so I think that a married woman, I'm not married yet, but can I say this? I'm not really joking, but I think that for you married women, just sew into your husband regardless of what the situation or circumstances look like. Don't be moved by what you see or how you feel. Just give all that you have, that last cake, and God will show up.
Great. So here's the second part. You can clap if you want to. I'm not talking about that. I mean, it's hard for me to talk about sewing into people. And I'll say this, I should be embarrassed. There's a place where we didn't sew, and it wasn't sewn, and finances were lost, and time was lost because it was a fight. And then God took it. Or something else, because we open doors for argument, stress, and all these other things. And women, you are the protectors of our hearts. Not in any other place. But I think that the Lord, when you sow into what's right, you can't take things back, or God will be like, okay, I'll take this much back. Not always, but you'll be like, okay, I'll let you decide to not follow through with what you say. And those moments are always touchy. Those moments are always in a place of pain. Those moments are always in a place of... She didn't sit down and give the man of God her cake and then say, I'll cut some out before so I can give it to my son. But what she did, she sewed into what God had her sew into and made provision for her whole life. And some people sit down and say, oh, let's take an offering. Let's do both. I'm not saying take an offering. I'm saying... sow into what God asked you to sow into, and let it be there, even through your pain, through your emotion, through your stuff, through what's going on in your mindset. Oh, he's not going to give me enough back. He's not going to function in this. He's not going to do this. And what I said last night was that when you sow into good ground, which is God, restore words and vessels, word better than men, regardless, there's no team point, but men are dirt. FYI, we were created from dirt. Buddy, just stand there by smiling, please smile. Women were not created from dirt. That's not what scripture says. I'm just saying. So when you sow into what God created perfect, into a moment which is us, which are made out of dust, and then God took you from us, and you sow back into us, and then God puts provision into your life, it's because you sow in what God created in God's blessed field, in God's blessed moment, even though he may look like a jerk, and even though he may not be all that he should be, even though you may not be everything, when you begin to invest your heart and your time in your life, as what you like, she, and then I'll be done, I promise. She's like, man, this is what's going on. And I'm like, okay. Pretty neat. Because she invested in us. She invested in me. And I'm like, Lord, out of what I have and out of my anointing and out of what I don't have, I'll provide so that this can be whatever it needs to be. And I'm so sick of the world sitting down and telling us, well, you need to get all you got so that you can continue on what you do. We're godly people. You're clean. You are, and I don't know you. I don't have to. That's the difference. I don't know Obama, but I know when he walks in the room, everybody's got to stand up. And you don't. Hope it works out for you. And I'm Canadian, so I'm like, well, we're Canadian, which is odd. But, I mean, we even give respect to that person. So I want to help you understand. You're clean. We talk about Proverbs 31, but I said this on Facebook the other day, I think. Proverbs 31 women have to realize as they're looking for a Proverbs 31 man, the man is looking for the queen that he's going to marry. It's not a stature thing, it's this moment. It's not married just to have, it's you are a queen. And I want to, and I really feel like this is God in a lot of things. I want you to close your eyes, and I really just want you to be in that place where you help yourself understand. And I want to apologize on behalf of every male leader and every male voice. And everything that's broken you down, everything that's said something to you. I want you to understand that God loves you. But he says in Song of Solomon again in 4:7, you're all fair. You're beautiful. You're creative. And things have to be broken by male voices, not other females. You can't call somebody else who is a woman and get what they need or get what you need from them. But you have to stop stabbing other people and other men for what things happened and what people did. And even men, you can't stab them. But you've got to let that go and realize we are the dad of Christ as men. But he says you are all beautiful. All fair. There's no spot or blemish in you. And sometimes we will never ask for your forgiveness. We will never come to you and say, I'm sorry, but right now, whatever happened from this day back, I just want to ask your forgiveness on behalf of our leaders, on behalf of people that have hurt you, on behalf of people that haven't protected you. When you have to say that don't go your way, and when it comes to the point where somebody's taking something from you physically, or taking something from you sexually, or taking something from you spiritually, or taking something from you in a moment where you just don't understand. We don't necessarily understand that we did that to you, and some people do because they're arrogant and ridiculous and idiot. There's no other word for it. I could use other words, but praise Jesus. The Lord wants to help you understand. Not by me, but through the sound of his voice in me. That you have the ability to let go. That you have the ability to forgive. And just say this.
And I am dead before you. Say I want you. Family, you're not a healer. Family, nobody knows me. I believe you are my portion.
And I heard the Lord said, you tell him, I said,
Anybody in the room?